Today's scripture reading is from the second book, Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work, as it is written. He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that has given to you, thanks be to God for this incredible gift.
This morning's scripture comes to us from 2 Corinthians. Here, Paul is writing yet again to the Corinthians about generosity and how to live in community. We might gather that they need a second letter because they're continuing to have challenges with their community, growing it, keeping everyone in relationship with one another, generous and loving. It would be easy for us to read this passage, as so many prosperity-type folks do, and believe that it's all about how if we give in abundance, we will get in abundance. That get more, give more, get more mentality. I think of those televangelists. They used to live right here in Costa Mesa. I don't think they still do at TBN. They didn't make it. People gave a heck of a lot of money, though. I mean, that thing was an eyesore. Right? Oh, God, it was so terrible. I was ashamed. Like, turn those lights off. They just moved? Oh, so they couldn't afford it here. They moved back to Dallas. I guess they still exist. Maybe you watch them. I don't know. But their whole premise is if you send money in, you're going to be blessed with more money. We've all heard that kind of thing before. So you might imagine that I take a little bit of an issue with prosperity theology and this promise of abundance. It might be a good way for us to justify the abundance that we have, but I think the Christian call is not to live in abundance, but instead experience abundance in the simple things, by being grateful for that which is, by sharing that which we have, because we will reap an abundance of joy, blessings that are so much deeper than money, stuff, or things can ever give us. Paul makes it clear, we are not to reap bountifully to live bountifully, we are to reap bountifully so that we can share abundantly. Our blessings are not to be ours alone. As Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. I'll say it another way. A long time ago, two travelers on a pilgrimage journeyed throughout a war-torn Europe. Hungry and tired from a long day's journey, they came to a small, impoverished medieval village where they decided to rest by the side of the road. They were famished, but the villagers had so little that they shouted evil words and slammed their doors. One of the travelers began to build a small fire on which he placed a large pot, while the other, having drawn water from the town well, filled the pot up and places into the vessel a simple stone. As the two men sit by the fire, bringing their stone soup to a boil, the local villagers become inquisitive of the curious antics of these strangers. Eventually, several townsfolk decide to investigate the matter and approach the two travelers and engage in a little conversation. It wasn't long before there was merriment as the visitors, who turned out to be quite friendly, shared their tales of the lands, the people they had met along their journeys as they pilgrimaged throughout Europe in local villages. Finally, a young boy asks the travelers in his medieval accent, "But why, pray thee, are you boiling a stone?" One of the pilgrims replies, "So we may eat stone soup. In fact, if you're hungry, you can have some too. Indeed, everyone can have some when it's done." "How does it taste?" This kid's skeptical. "It's pretty good," comes the answer. "But it would be better if it had some carrots in it. It's a shame we don't have any." "You know what?" says one of the villagers. "I just remember that I have some carrots in my pantry at home. I'd forgotten all about them. But you can use them if you want." "Sounds good," says the stranger. And soon the carrots are stewing in the water. "I have some cabbage, and that'll add some flavor," an old woman announces. "Well, I have some potatoes. They aren't much, but I'll go fetch them," says another villager. "It's coming along, but it's too bad we don't have an onion or two," comments one of the travelers. And suddenly, wouldn't you know it, a woman remembers that she's got onions stowed in her cupboard. So she runs home and returns beaming. It was beginning to smell incredible. And before you knew it, you'd see folks just drawn to the pot. And then moments later, they would run home to return just after with another offering for the soup. Until shortly, by the contribution of a little, by many, a hearty stew was made, upon which the entire village and the very weary pilgrims dined. And while doing so, shared their tales, talents, and camaraderie throughout the night. The very next day, the travelers, who by now could be called strangers no more, continued their journey, leaving the little village and its people behind. But the villagers never forgot them and the lesson they had learned. In fact, during the hardest of times, in such a time as this tale, that little village thrived because the townsfolk never forgot how to make stone soup. Now, in my family, and maybe also in yours, that's kind of how we celebrate Thanksgiving. That's what we're about to do together in just a few moments as we anticipate that feast that awaits us outside. Each of us takes something from home, but the meal doesn't become a meal until all of our family and friends have arrived with different ingredients, side dishes, and desserts that truly make a feast. I know that's why you all came today, because you're ready for a feast. And don't worry, because that's what we are going to do together. Feast. Because that's what makes church. Feasting. You don't make a church by building a structure. You make it by cooking a stew. In this case, both start with a stone. The cornerstone and the one that goes in the pot. But until you add the other ingredients, it's just a stone. No church is built, no belly fed, no spirit nourished. So here's the thing, guys.
I've got a pot.
And I've got a stone. And I'm willing to give my stone. Because it's not keeping me fed. And it sure can't feed anyone else. So I'd like to give it and cook something else up with you. Now, I know you guys don't have a whole lot of time. You might not have any extra spare money. You probably don't think you have much to give. Seems like everyone's been asking for something lately. You're tired of those emails and sign-up sheets going along. But perhaps, maybe you can look. Is there something you can contribute? Because I really think you might have just the ingredient that we need. So let me ask you, is there something you can give? I actually want you to think about this for a moment. Rather than live out of scarcity, let us reap the abundance together. We actually have everything we need right here in this room to make this church, to feed our souls, to feed the soul of a community around us that is hungry. My stone right here, it might have a little iron in it. That's a start, right? We have to start with something. So I put my stone in. But it would taste so much better if you added your unique flavor. So do you have something? Something to give? You don't have to share it out loud, but I really do hope you'll consider this. Reflect upon it. Maybe even tell me later what that stone represents. You could tell Mike if you wanted to. What do you want to add to this pot? What are you going to throw into the mix? So search your heart, reflect on what's in your cupboard, and consider how you can give something. And when you're ready, you might discover that you might find a little something that you didn't know you had, or you weren't quite sure what you could give. It doesn't really matter how small it is. But if you should find that something, you can look in the pews if you need. I invite you to come forward and bring forth your ingredient. We'll talk the details later. But if you are intrigued, like those travelers were, if you are hungry, like those villagers were, and if you are eager to be nourished, let your giving lead the way to Thanksgiving. I am so moved. And I am shocked by how moved I am. And I will never forget that moment, Mike and Tom. These have been lean days. But we do not need to fear that we don't have enough, that we are not enough, that we will starve and die away. Not if we remember how to make stone soup. I am so grateful for all of the ingredients, for every single one of you who have given of yourselves, for the blessings of sharing and the joy of feasting. I am grateful that here at Fairview Community Church, I am fed. And I pray that you are too. When we come together, we add our own flavor. Suddenly, something deliciously wonderful is made. Taste and see, for the Lord is good. Amen.